His Majesty. Let's begin our service with a word of prayer, and we pray today, dear God, that our worship is pleasing to you. Come and be present among us, dear Lord, for it is you we love, and we honor and glorify your holiness and your goodness to us every single day of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I especially want to welcome those who may be visiting with us for the first time. If you're a first-time guest, I invite you to fill out the welcome card, which you will find in the pew in front of you, and place it in the offering plate so we might get to know you a little bit better. We're glad you're worshiping among us. I am grateful to all of you for this beautiful, beautiful worship day that you have come together here in God's house at Calvary to praise His name. We begin our service this morning with the greeting of the peace of Christ with your neighbor.
Good now? Yep. I apologize. Just having a little moment because I'm really missing my mom today. It is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today, and we have so many things to be grateful for. I myself, we did have a wonderful, and that is a blessing, we had a wonderful Thanksgiving with my son and the twins, and it was just a really great time. So I do hope that every one of you had as good a time as we did. I do. It's a blessing. We do have some announcements in the bulletin. A couple of them I can actually talk about. We did change the church council meeting for next Sunday, December 3rd at 6, and I do encourage everyone to attend. Even if you don't hold a chair in a committee or any of that, if you are a member of this church, you'll want to come to this meeting to see the goings-on of the church, the things that you're not aware of. You would want to go to that meeting. Barbara, did you want to announce about the children's Christmas party? Thank you, Barbara. Betty, would you like to talk about the children's home?
Well, the children's home's going on, but I want to tell you about something else. On Monday night, we meet the prayer warriors, and there's only a couple of us that are meeting. And those yellow cards that are in your pew are real important. If you have a prayer request, please write it on a yellow card. If you have praise, it goes on the back. And on Monday night, all of these cards, and it's sent out on email to people in the church, and they pray all week for your prayers. So if you have a concern about anybody, even if you don't know their name, God knows their name, mm-hmm. So just put it down, and we'd really like to be able to pray for everybody that you have in your mind.
Amen. Thank you, Betty. Larry?
Two quick announcements. One, before you leave today, I'm going to track you down if you don't have a bag of bread in your hand. In the kitchen, table is full of bags of bread. Please, take some for anybody you know that might need it. There's also some baked goods in the refrigerator and on the stove, and a box of bananas. I'd like to see it all gone, at the end of the day, so please take that. Secondly, and most important, as most of you who have been here over the years know, this time of year we take a special offering for the staff Christmas bonus. Starting today, we're accepting those through the 17th of December. If you're not sure who the staff is, on the back of your insert, list staff. Everybody with the exception of the pastor is included in this special offering. So please, folks, open your wallets, donate. Let's give our staff a special Christmas bonus.
Amen.
Amen.
If there are no other announcements, let us go to the back of the bulletin for the opening words. It is harvest time. God is gathering us in. Come, let us share all of our good gifts with God. God has planted seeds in us, and now the time is ripe. Come, let us celebrate and rejoice in what God is doing in us. God has plans for us, plans for a future with hope. Come, let us rejoice in God's reaping at harvest time. Let us share our gifts for the glory of God.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me. We will sing forever.
Thank you.
to 883 in your hymnals. We'll have our affirmation of faith. We are not alone.
We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Question about this crown on the manger scene. What do you think that's all about? Yes, Zachary. Oh, you think it's about King David. You know, that is a very good answer. King David is related to Jesus. And Jesus came, what, as a little tiny baby. But he was a descendant of David, and we believe Jesus is our king. And so we put this crown, even though it's a manger scene, and in a couple of weeks we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, we think of Jesus as our king. But there are different kinds of kings out there. They're not all the same. I'm going to tell you about a kind of king that you might relate to, because if you have a brother or a sister, this might sound somewhat familiar. I want to tell you about this little boy who had a big brother, and the little boy, all he wanted to do was play with his brother and his brother's friends. But guess what? His older brother would go off in the room by himself with his friends and shut the door, and he wouldn't let his younger brother play with him. And that's all he wanted in life, was to play with his older brother. So one day his older brother said, okay, I'll let you play with us if you go into the kitchen and you bring me a box of cookies. Then you can play. And so he said, ah, at last I'll be able to play with my brother. So he went into the kitchen and got the cookies, and his mother just kind of shook her head just like that. And then he went to the door, and his big brother snatched the cookie and shut the door. And he didn't let him play. Now, what kind of big brother is that? A what? A bad big brother? Normal big brother? A normal big brother? Yeah. My brother let me know that he was the firstborn. They have a way of doing that. But this is an example of the kind of king that uses power badly. that uses power just for himself and does not include others. But that's not the kind of king we worship. We worship a different kind of king, a king who asks all of us in, a king who is a servant to us and doesn't lord it over us like big sisters or big brothers. I had no children in mind when I was doing this. Honestly, I didn't. I wasn't thinking of anybody in particular, except maybe my own experience with my big brother. But at any rate, we have a king. We celebrate today on Christ the King Sunday. That is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we worship him and praise him. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. You came to us in a tiny baby to show us that there is a different way, dear God, that we follow you, that you are a different kind of king. You are a king who comes to us as a lowly servant. Help us to be inclusive of others and know that you have called each one of us into your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here you go. You're welcome. Did you get a good one? I see a lollipop. Don't you like lollipops? Good one. Good one. You want this one? All right. You're welcome, sweetie. That was a very tough decision. We continue to serve and worship God with the giving of our gifts. Will the ushers please come forward for our tithes and offerings? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have come to us to show us the way, the truth, and the life. Help us, dear God, to pray and use these gifts for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
First off, I've had the sopranos up here doing a back and forth so Rhonda would have her seat when we sang the anthem, but it just dawned on me that we're not going to sing an anthem with the choir. So, yeah. So we've got an empty chair. It's in honor of Rhonda. This song has a couple of points it makes. It has several points, but the things that stick out to me are, I think my favorite point is it says, "All who are broken, lift up your face. Lift up your face to God and let God fix you." And that's powerful to me. Another thing it has in there that just, it repeats several times is that earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And mercy, that's the truth. And we all need to remember that. No matter how sad you get, no matter how sorrowful you feel, you can't feel bad enough that heaven can't make you feel better. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. There's hope for the hopeless, for all who have strayed. Come sit at the table and come taste and grace. There's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are, come as you are.
Is amen. Amen. Will you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'd please stand and look to the screen behind me, we will sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Thank you.
Please be seated.
Your scriptures for today are out of Ezekiel 1st, chapter 34, 11 through 16, and that is found in your Pew Bible on page 934. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring them back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. And then turning to Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31. And that is page 35 in your Pew Bible. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I want to thank the worship committee for their preparations, not only for Christ the King Sunday, but for Advent, which begins next week. And Robin is the head of our worship committee, and she was assisted very ably by a lot of helpers, and we thank them very much. It looks beautiful in here. It looks wonderful. The gospel, which is assigned for Christ the King Sunday, talks of two sorts of faith from which people operate. It is the story that Rhonda just read for us out of Matthew 25, and frequently it is referred to as the Last Judgment. It's the separation of the sheep and the goats. But at first, it's hard to really see how they might call this good news. There are no deliberations in this courtroom. There's no dialogue, no chance to make one's case. The decision, it appears, has already been made. Now, I have confessed to you in the past, and I'm going to confess to you again today, that I'm not always proud of who I am or about the things I've done. There are times when I'm guilty of telling myself, well, at least I'm not like him or her. There are people in my mind who embody the exact opposite of the faith and grace I have come to know and love in Jesus Christ, and I'm guilty of looking down on them and judging them for it, if they don't measure up to my own standards. If I'm completely honest with myself, in my heart I know there are times when my only thought has been, thank heaven that's not me, or I'm such a better Christian than they are. And I tell you this morning because I think this is something common to all of us at one time or another. I hope when these thoughts come across my mind that I'm subtle about it and that I don't let it show. But whether or not it's seen by others, I know that I have been self-righteous. And there are times that I need to remind myself that I am not the one who separates the sheep from the goats. Now, to give us a little bit of leeway here, if you're thinking of yourself as well, judgment, when we judge others, I think it comes from a place of brokenness within us, a place of vulnerability. It comes, I think, from our need for self-assurance. It's a way, maybe a misguided way, of convincing ourselves that we have God's favor because someone else does not. So there are a number of reasons why we judge others, aren't there? Sometimes it's easy to judge, or we make judgments because it simplifies a complicated world by putting people in boxes of good or bad. Now, we all grew up knowing the difference, didn't we, of good and bad. We saw it on TV and we read about it in stories where it was obvious which side somebody was on. When you read The Lord of the Rings, for example, you know that the orcs and the goblins are the bad guys, and the elves and the hobbit are the good guys. Now, of course, in old Western movies, which a lot of us grew up on, you could tell the good from the bad by what? The color of their hat. A bad person wore a black hat, and the good guy always wore the white hat. Yep. The problem is that in the real world, people don't fit into those nice neat categories. It would make life much simpler if they did. In the real world, people are ambiguous. Saints can be sinners, and the wicked can be redeemed. I am a deep believer that you and I only see a very small snippet of each other's stories in life. We do not know what others have been through. I believe even after spending a lifetime with somebody, you can be married to somebody. I've known people who have been married 75 years. At the end, you will still only know a fragment of who they are in the eyes of God. It is God alone who sees us in our complete entirety. And it is God alone who decides where we belong. In the Old Testament reading that Rhonda shared with us this morning, God is described as a shepherd who cares for the flock. Those sheep who pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns and scattered them are rebuked and judged for their actions. And the passage is filled with promises by the shepherd. You notice he says, I myself will search. I will rescue. It's worth noting just how active this shepherd is. And that's a theme that Jesus draws upon in the Gospels. Throughout the Gospels, if you remember your Bible, Jesus proclaims that a great separation will one day happen. Wheat will be separated from the weeds, the chaff from the grain, good fish from bad fish, and sheep from goats. But none of this is self-selected or selected by anyone else. The sheep don't get to decide who gets into the barn, and the fish don't get to decide who's a keeper and who's tossed back. That decision is made by the one to whom they all belong. And I also want to be clear that judging someone, making a judgment, is not the same thing as having an opinion, because of course we all have opinions, and being non-judgmental, I don't believe, means that anything goes, does it? No. When someone says and does communicate who they are, we form opinions about them. The difference between a judgment and an opinion is that an opinion is something open that can be changed. An opinion is where a person can reform or a relationship can mend. But a judgment is something final, isn't it? Something we don't revisit once we've made the judgment. Once we've judged someone, then we have dropped a curtain on them and we refuse to pull it back up. And Jesus says, that's not something we get to do. That's something for God alone. It is not our job to separate the sheep from the goats. The kingdom of heaven is not a club with us being the bouncers. We're more like promoters, not bouncers. We help send the invitations, but who gets admitted isn't up to us. Our job is not to be the gatekeeper, but to care for everyone as long as we're here in the field. What happens after that is up to God. It is not that one person is more worthy to receive God than another, but that God continues to love us regardless of our past. And you know what? We all have a past. I saw a video on the internet that I wanted to share with you, and it's an image of heaven. And yes, there's Saint Peter standing outside the pearly gates, and he's standing next to a large scale. And on one end of the scale, the meter points toward good, and on the other end of the scale, the meter points toward bad. And there's a line of people stretched out in front of him, and each one of them is carrying a file folder with their deeds, a record of their deeds listed. And he took the file from each person and asked them to get up on the scale. And some people had good deeds, and then they would waver back to bad. Each person, the scale would kind of go back and forth, and then finally it would hit bad. And then St. Peter would send them off. And they kept saying, but don't the good deeds outweigh the bad? And then a person approached St. Peter with a file that was this thick with bad deeds. And St. Peter is shaking his head. And he asks him to stand on the scale. And as this person gets ready to go up on the scale, St. Peter holds him back and he says, not you, him. And he points to a man with a t-shirt with the word Jesus written across it. So Jesus goes up on the scale, and the scale points to good. He gets on the scale in place of the man. The scale reads good, and the man is allowed through the gates. We all have a past. But thank goodness, with Jesus, we all have a future. Amen and amen.
If you would stand and look to the screen behind me. This song requires some audience participation, but the choir will help you out. So just follow their lead.